and we are communicating on live stream. And I want to open the meeting for the public hearing on the Local Law 1, 2016, as it relates to the Jefferson Leeds sewer use law. And I will ask the clerk to read the announcement.
Notice of public hearing. Proposed Local Law 1 of 2016 regulating sewer district sewer use law. Please take notice the Town Board of the Town of Catskill will hold a public hearing on Wednesday, February 17, 2016 at 6 p.m. at Town Hall to hear comments and concerns regarding adopting Local Law 1 of 2016 sewer district sewer use law by order of the Catskill Town Board, Elizabeth Izzo, Town Clerk.
Okay. So we are opening the meeting for comments, correct?
Tom Randy Decker, just spoke with you.
Uh-huh. Hello.
We put a request in to be removed from the sewer district for several reasons. One, the cost to the town for a single property grinding station pumping up about 300 feet getting to your lines. So the pumping station would be down on our property. We'd have to maintain it with electricity and everything. Extra cost to us. We have just over 4 acres. We're not one of the small properties in Jefferson, and we're on the very edge of it, which the rest of the properties, Suburban Way and everything, isn't on it. And that's our quest there.
Okay.
The second note to that is a lot of the engineers were down at the property looking at a pump station location at my property. Does anybody know if that's been sort of been, I don't know where that stands.
This is Mary Beth Bianconi, who is our engineer, a lead from Delaware Engineering. Mm-hmm.
There would not be a pump station on your property that would serve others. It would only be for you.
Okay, because at one point that's where it was, you're going down the back road then.
Right, there's been an investigation of a number of different potential locations trying to figure out what is the best environmentally, lowest cost.
Right.
So,
okay,
if there was a pump station on your property, you would already know.
I was thinking, that's why I came tonight to make sure I didn't miss something somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay, so then the only thing we got then is a request to be removed from the sewer district completely. Okay.
Okay. Good evening.
My name is Gene Bartels. I'm with Marshall Avenue property in Captain Leeds, 1126 Main Street. And about 7 years ago, I put in an engineered, state-approved, actually town-approved sewer system in my property, on my property. It was accepted and filed for it. And what I'd like to do is possibly, I'm not sure of the language, but the provision that was made was in this law would allow me to not hook up to the sewer district at this time when it's completed. I believe last night I spoke to fellow engineering, an individual there, and they said, I downloaded 8 pages of the law, and I didn't wait for it, because I've been working all day, I'd like to have that request, but I don't have to hook it up until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I think if there's anything else that I need to speak about tonight, pertain to that, Mary Beth?
No, so section 307 of the sewer use law is the section on forbearance from connection, and that addresses, Mr. Bartels, what you were just asking about.
Yeah.
It's called forbearance from required connection. The section prior to that, 306, still getting used to reading glasses. Says that all owners of properties abutting, and then it goes through, basically within 180 days of official notice, shall connect to a public sewer if it is within 200 feet of the property line. The next section is forbearance, and what that says is the town board's discretion may grant a forbearance for certain septic systems otherwise required to connect. To be eligible for forbearance, the system must be in good operating condition. The applicant must demonstrate that the system was designed by a professional engineer who has certified record drawings, construction of the system, that the construction was approved by the town code enforcement officer or the New York State Department of Health or Environmental Conservation. Applicants shall submit a request in writing to the town board to grant forbearance for the system. The request shall be accompanied by record drawings for the system. Upon receipt, the superintendent, which is an entity that you designate, shall assess the condition and make a recommendation to the board, and then the board grants forbearance as appropriate, and then all forbearance shall end on December 31st, 2025. So that's in the law.
Okay, so is this happen by itself, or do I apply for this forbearance provision?
So right now, the board is looking at adopting a local law for governing how the sewer system will function.
Right.
Once that is adopted and the construction is starting, you'll be notified that sewers are available for you to connect to. At that point, you will send a letter in writing requesting, with this information, requesting forbearance. The board will consider it and issue that.
Okay.
So that could be some time from now. It could be a year from now. It could be more than that.
And I will be, being that I spoke to this tonight, I will be notified?
Every single property owner will be notified.
Okay.
So you'll be notified.
Okay. In the page, of the law, does that address or tell us about how much it's going to be to hook up or not hook up, and whether that be assessed by the one in the standard using the method of whatever water goes into the property, you're rated to what your sewer.
And so you're talking about costs,
what the cost will be?
So separate from this, the board will adopt a rate structure charging people.
Okay.
Right now, what's been discussed has been because not everyone has public water, a lot of people are on wells, so there isn't a way of saying, you know, some people would need, and some other people do have water, so they have water meters and they know how much water they put in. A lot of people don't. Not everyone's on the water system. So what's been discussed so far, and the board has taken no action on this formally, and they won't for some time yet, but has been looking and saying a house equals one, so each house would be treated similarly. And then the costs are really threefold for ongoing costs. One is debt service, paying back borrowing. One is paying the village Catskill to treat the water. And the last chunk is paying for the operation of the system that's in the town. There's going to be a number of pump stations. There's a cost associated with running those. Down the road, the board will be considering a rate structure for how those charges are assessed. So that will also be subject to public discussion, public hearing.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And the rate structure also falls into a public hearing type of scenario, Mary Beth?
Yes,
okay.
you have a couple of options with that. My recommendation is you set your rate structure as a resolution of the board. The reason to do that, this document does generically discuss rates. What it really says is if you're going to charge rates for this, the rates have to be commensurate with the thing that people get. So you can't take this money and go, you know, build a dog park or a library. This money has to, if you charge someone for sewer, it has to go to sewer, and it has to be kind of within that structure that I just talked about. Paying for debt service, paying for operation and maintenance, either of your system or for treatment at the village, mm-hmm. kind of sets those parameters. We would recommend that you adopt your rate structure as a resolution. The reason is because what we would also recommend is you review it annually as you are evaluating the costs so that you don't end up with a situation where you settle off, start charging people, and then maybe the cost of power goes up or the cost goes down, and you have to adopt another local law and go through a process. We'd rather see you do this on a very fluid basis annually when you're considering your budget, just like you do with your tax rates. You look at it every year. You look at what do I have to pay for? Who do I have to pay for it? Hopefully, one of the things that will happen with this system is this will encourage some economic development, particularly in Leeds. We'll have more customers to share in the costs, and that will, you know, help distribute those costs. So that's what we would recommend at this point. We will want to start talking about that sometime in the near future, but right now you don't even have a shovel in the ground, so it's challenging to set up a root structure before you start a construction.
And any observations? I didn't ask you to speak to Mr. Decker's observation. Is there anything else we can educate them on before?
So you may want to consider this forbearance opportunity, not requesting, not connecting. You have a lot of land, and you may be able to demonstrate that your system is functioning properly. That's one option. Changing the sewer district is a very time-consuming and extremely costly process. It can be done, but it requires an engineer preparing a map, going to public hearing, there's a probably 6-month process behind doing that.
That was the direct time.
At the time that discussion, there was some discussion about the district possibly being changed to accommodate some other users in other locations that have kind of all been addressed in other ways. So there was maybe an opportunity to do kind of a larger change. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to have an opportunity to kind of talk to you about this as we go on. The sewer district is separate from the sewer use law. Sewer use law is the rules of how a sewer district works, but the sewer district is a separate proceeding.
Okay. Any other comments from anyone regarding our public hearing? Elizabeth, anything else we need to do other than to entertain a motion to adjourn? So Mr. Gordiano has made a motion to adjourn the public hearing. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Vosburgh, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That concludes our public hearing in Local Law 1, 2016. Thank you all for coming. We'll be back in touch. And a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So this is our workshop committee meeting where we work on things pertinent to the various departments. You will see our department's heads. Some of them are here this evening. Generally, we do not entertain public comment at our workshop committee meetings. However, because of a time-sensitive issue regarding Pilgrim Pipeline, we have extended an invitation to a member of the Citizens Against Pilgrim Pipeline to address us. Ariel, before you begin, I would like to entertain a motion that one of the board members has asked to put forth. Mr. Gordiano?
I'd like to make a motion that we, the Catskill Town Board, send a letter stating that in its current layout, the town of Catskill is not interested in participating in the construction of the Pilgrim Pipeline due to adverse economic development in the corridor we seek for future economic development.
A second, please.
Second.
Second by Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. We will develop a letter for the board's review to submit to all interested parties that the town of Catskill will not support the establishment of the Pilgrim Pipeline in its current format. Thank you. Ariel, however, because you have done such a good job of preparing, as I'm sure you have, please share with us what the current information is. And frankly, that will educate not only those in the room, but those that are listening in tonight, and give us a little status update.
Should I come up?
Sure. Speak to the mic.
So you mentioned that there's a time-sensitive issue, and that is why I felt it was really pressing to address it at this meeting, which is the scoping process is upcoming, and We are hoping to have more, but we might only have 30 days. And this is basically the one big opportunity for the public, for involved agencies, for anyone who has concerns to bring up potential impacts of this project that Pilgrim should be required to address in their environmental impact statement. So I have been studying and studying these maps, as I guess it's kind of clear. And I have found a number of things that stood out to me, but I'm also absolutely positive that the more people who look at these maps, who know the area, the more issues we're going to find that create concern, dangers to our community, whether they're environmental dangers, economic risks, all kinds of different things that people might come across. So I guess you all had have copies of these maps. My initial primary concern, which again is a really important issue to bring up in the scoping process when it comes. Oh, sorry, I need to back up one moment. There was a new development recently. A letter that was received from a legal team that Pilgrim has hired to try to push forward the seeker process even more quickly. So there was a dispute about the lead agency. Catskill was one of quite a few towns that sent letters saying that it was not appropriate for the Thruway Authority to be lead agency. And so there's been a dispute, and now Pilgrim is saying, not even saying that, their desires should win in the dispute, but they're saying, no, there's actually no dispute whatsoever. And so we don't want you to take the 20 days that you're supposed to take to resolve this dispute. We want you to ignore it completely and move ahead with the process. And they also pointed out in this letter that this application was put in August. Now, I don't know if you all remember, but the public was actually not made aware of this application until mid-November, right before the holiday season. So I thought that was interesting and very kind of cute on their part to include that as, how long they had this permit application pending. So primary concern that I had was Pilgrim, from their maps, has made it clear that they are planning to use property, two parcels that are owned by the town of Catskill. As far as I know, they have never approached the town to make some kind of agreement, to ask for permission in any way. One of these parcels is the town highway department, which is, butted up against a cliff overlooking the thruway. And somewhere in that narrow piece of property on a cliff overlooking the thruway, they actually plan to install the pipelines, the SED. It's a set of two pipelines. And they plan to have a construction staging area and some access roads. So I don't know what that would mean for the town highway department. It seems like it would have to be completely relocated. They also claim that is within the thruway right-of-way. That doesn't seem to be the case to me, but I think the town attorney would maybe need to check into that and make sure that this is not actually within the thruway right-of-way. The other parcel that they plan to put their pipelines through is a 40-acre parcel in between the Catskill Creek and Route 23 that is owned by Catskill. And again, I have some understandings about this property that may not be completely accurate, but what my understanding was that this is part of a larger area that has been slated for potential development, which I imagine would be a great boon to the tax base of the town of Catskill. That this is involved in the expansion of the water and sewer system out to that exact area, which is obviously a huge, huge financial investment for the town. And my understanding is that if the pipelines get installed on that property, its development potential plummets. Its economic value plummets. Obviously a big problem for the town. And again, Pilgrim has never approached the town about even trying to use this property. So that's the properties. The other scoping issues that I was finding were in relation to the access roads. So every time there's an access road on these maps that goes, from the thruway area off to God knows where, it obviously lands on another road somewhere. Because they're not going to levitate construction vehicles, down from outer space onto their little access roads that they're building. I mean, there's one access road per mile about. So I was trying to look at these access roads, and this is a spreadsheet that someone within the Capitol created that describes, you know, all of the areas where these access roads are and what roads they are going to inevitably connect with. One that I noticed seemed to be a big concern was the maps AR 21 to 23. This is a set of three access roads, sort of going through the cement company property that would land on 9W just north of the first train trestle underpass. So that road was very concerning to me in terms of questions of how big are their vehicles going to be? Do they even fit on those sharp curves? Do they fit under those underpasses? Is the road structurally sound to support whatever it is that they're planning to travel along them? And of course, we don't know whether their vehicles are going to be coming from the south or from the north. Of course, if they're coming from 9W North, it would take these construction vehicles through the village of Catskill, which is a whole other set of problems, including potentially blocking our volunteer fire department and getting, you know, creating problems in a number of intersections that are already difficult at times. So there's traffic concerns, there's infrastructure concerns, and some pretty significant safety concerns that I noticed. So I had, you guys jumped like way ahead of me with that resolution. I think that was really great. I had a couple of just narrower specific requests that I wanted to make regarding taking these questions a little bit further and the town potentially preparing itself. And I'm hoping that the town board would be willing to participate in the scoping process to raise these concerns so that Pilgrim will have to address them in some way in their application. So my requests were to ask the town attorney to check again whether these properties are within the thruway right-of-way, because that definitely changes the rights that we have in regards to...
Yeah, we can probably get our assessor to look at those. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
And if possible, to also have the town attorney take a look at the New York State Transportation Code. This is the only authority that we have found so far that gives Pilgrim the right to do any of what they're planning to do, including trying to claim eminent domain. Now, they've made it very clear they plan to use eminent domain on private property owners. I don't actually have any idea whether they can do that to the town. I think that's a pretty serious issue that the town might want to follow up on and see if there's some way to protect themselves against eminent domain claims from Pilgrim Pipeline. I was hoping that maybe following up with the highway department or engineers around these questions of potential damage to infrastructures, to roads and bridges, and potential traffic impacts on, you know, all of these roads that connect with their access roads. And also the idea of consulting with the IDA, if they are part of this development discussion, on, you know, sort of what is their take on the development potential if there are a set of pipelines installed through these properties. A bigger request that I had that I wanted to put out was if the town might consider making these maps from Pilgrim more easily accessible to the public. I think it's really important that the public can find them easily, can see them easily. I would love to see them on the town website and in the town office in hard copies that people could physically look at. It's really confusing to try to look at them on the computers, and it's really hard to make sense of them. And, you know, like I said before, the more eyeballs we have on these maps, the more people who look at an area and say, oh, I drive past that area every day, I know exactly, you know, what would be impacted, then the more issues we can raise. I think Pilgrim has made it very clear that if we don't force these questions, they're going to ignore them completely. They do not care how it impacts us. They have not shown any concern for any municipalities or, you know, any impacts that it will have.
Have they contacted any municipalities? Because we haven't heard anything from them.
There have been various towns that they had been contacted by or had contacted quite a few of those. They would just stand them up at the last minute, especially if they heard that there were any people speaking against the pipeline, then they would just refuse to come, and as often at the last minute. So it's, they've spoken to some, but they usually try to keep it as quiet and as private as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Exemplifying how dismissive they are is, they had come and met with the county legislature, and they had been presented with a set of questions in writing. Some of the questions were from the CAP organization. Some of the questions were from the county legislature itself. Some were from the county attorney. They were presented with these questions, and it was requested that they, respond, and within a certain time period. They never did. Another letter was sent out, I think a month or a month and a half later. They never responded. So they've made it very clear that they have no interest in sharing information outside of the forums where they are absolutely required to.
So we'll take your request under advisement.
Thank you.
One thing is, in expending of funds would be problematic for us.
That can be tricky.
But some of these simple questions around the property, getting clarification, speaking to our highway folks. Sean, it sounds like your building is on the thruway land.
Yeah, you're gonna build us a new one.
So we'll follow up on all of these types of things.
Yeah.
But as I said, from a legal perspective, investing in funds or in securing an attorney and the like, probably we would need to be served something substantive that we would need to act on. But I believe that many of these questions we can get without paying for it.
Right. Okay. And if you're willing to consider trying to make this information more public for, mm-hmm. for town residents, just a reminder that the town does have a CD with this full application,
mm-hmm.
so it might
okay.
not be too hard to pop
no,
on
yes,
the website.
No, yes, I have all that record material here, so we can work on that from an informational perspective. The other thing is we did have an opportunity to speak with Renee Venchik, and my guess is he will become involved in the scoping process in terms of comment.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
And for all the folks listening, do you guys have a website?
Yes, there is the website for CAP New York, for Coalition Against Pilgrim Pipeline New York, is stoppilgrimpipeline.com, I think. Pretty easy to access. And if you just put up Pilgrim, the first thing that will come up is Pilgrim Pipeline's official website,
mm-hmm.
which you can also go through their website to look at all of this application information. And the second one that will come up is the Stop Pilgrim Pipeline.
Okay.
So.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, so much.
Thank you for coming. And we'll report back in terms of the steps that we can take
just
to get
more,
better
just really
informed.
Quick. I just want to let the public know and everyone here that other agencies that might be impacted are first responders, if the our schools are any entity, any organization that could be impacted or feels like they want to have a voice in this should absolutely participate in the scoping process as well as individuals. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ariel. Any other comments from the board? Okay, we'll follow up. The rest of the meeting is departmental or committee-like. George, anything you'd like to share with us?
Sure. Come over here. Standing
stand next to the mic.
It's only one person rather than the entire room. Sorry. I provided the board with some brief data from 2015. Our overall call volume was up about 100 calls over the year before. And nothing too noteworthy there. Notice some of the mutual aid lines. We are being a good neighbor to other communities. We respond to calls in other communities twice as often as we rely on other communities to help us, based on those numbers. Probably the distressing part of that is when you look at the average charge per call and how much you can actually collect based on that, would like them to be. But that's a function of more so the insurance industry and government insurance programs. Relative to the ALS program, I received a notice from the Department of Health that our narcotics application passed through their initial review and approval and has been forwarded on to the Bureau of Narcotics. They are the agency that has the final say and the ones that issue the license that allows us to purchase and then administer the narcotics. The time frame for that, they can't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as with most state agencies, it could be 2 days, it could be 2 weeks. I'm hoping more like 2 weeks rather than any longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the staffing, we have filled one of those two full-time positions taking effect, took effect February 1. The second full-time position will go into effect March 1st. We'll help to shore up the staffing and some of those open paramedic roles.
Okay.
And then from there, we'll reassess after sometime after March to see if there's any other adjustments we need to make relative to the schedule.
Okay. And on a private or a personal note, I drove upon mm-hmm. that accident in Palinville about a minute after it happened, and your folks were there. Sean was driving one of the trucks. You came in shortly thereafter. It was very impressive to see.
Handled well. Probably no serious injuries.
Excellent. That's even better to hear then.
Absolutely.
Good.
Any other questions on that report or anything else in the board? Thank you.
Actually, on that note of the accident in Palinville,
mm-hmm.
I would request that the board draft a letter to the sheriff and to the state police captain and leads to increase patrols along that corridor, especially this time of year, because I've experienced and seen the excessive speed on my own.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent idea, and I was hoping perhaps we could borrow the village's sign that tells you how fast things go to get a feel for that, to make a case. Because people do get going on a pretty good clip on many roads, I'm sure, but that one coming down off the mountain after you've done 10 miles an hour, people tend to speed up. Sean, anything we should know?
Not too much. We're just looking through winter, okay? We have one truck. It's been delivered to the builder that's putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out more tomorrow on a delivery date on it.
Okay.
We have three. We're up in the air on it. I've got some prices on some roads I want to do. And I'll get together with Paul and Patrick and for some of the processes and mm-hmm. how that'll work out. The ice storm was a little rough, but I think we get out okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think our guys, my bros, were in some of the better shape that storm. So
good.
We were, it was tough.
Yeah.
When it rains at 24 degrees, it makes it a little difficult. So.
Turns it into ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had a little bit of a conversation, I know, about the, I guess it's not really a bridge, it's a culvert. Is that the...
Yes, I spoke with Gary Harvey today, and I'm going to meet with him either tomorrow or Friday when everything's available to go over our options with it.
Okay.
We'll get into that another time. But he was...
Good.
He was optimistic on getting mm-hmm. our prices lower on.
Okay, good.
And going from there with it.
And we don't... We're not plowing as regularly, so maybe we'll...
Hopefully.
Have a few extra dollars in our, I know.
The night before lasts a long night.
Yeah.
We're still okay, I think.
Well, and may I publicly compliment you guys. We had an insurance risk analyst come and view all of our facilities, ambulance, highway, senior center, and they were extremely complimentary on upkeep and how things looked, and kudos to all the teams because it was nice to hear. So I thank you. Do we have an update on CHIPS yet?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I have one letter that says we have $1,700 left. And I haven't had any new letters on
okay.
available this year. I did speak with the Ryan Kirch, which is our representative,
mm-hmm.
about a week or so ago. I have to contact him again for more filling in on the processes.
Okay.
And he's, like I said, has sold it against us, but,
okay.
But no letter on what's available.
All right. There was the new Department of Transportation Commissioner, Matt Driscoll, I think, and he was the one that worked on Hurricane Irene. former mayor of Syracuse, I think he spoke at the Association of Towns this week, and he's actually put assistant commissioners in by geography. So we have one guy that's an assistant commissioner by the name of Thomas McIntyre. He's retired military. He was in the Army for 30 years, and now he's living locally, returned home. And so I have his card, and he said if there's anything that, he can do to help, so maybe we can talk to him, too.
Okay.
Okay.
And before we get information, I'll definitely look into it.
Okay. Cool.
I do have a March 7th or 8th. I have to go to Albany for Superintendent Association thing in front of everybody, all the politicians, and for it's kind of like a
lobbying day.
A what?
Lobbying day.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for. That's the word I'm looking for, lobbying. Yes, yes. It didn't come to mind. I thought it was last month, but yes, yep. That's what it is. And our local association is actually looking to get a bus to take everybody in the county.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
That's where we're at that.
And the budget was reviewed, I believe it was presented in Hunter, Environmental Facility Corporation director, actually. Sabrina T. was there, and she presented. We talked a little bit about trying to get additional funding for the sewer district, so we'll be tracking that also. So, very good. Any other departments? I don't think so. They're here. I did get a note, and the rest of this is just by committee, and then we have a brief meeting we need to undergo regarding hiring, which we'll go into executive session for the vacancy we have in the senior center. But we were contacted by the new director of the Catskill Community Center. She has invited any of us or all of us to meet with her, and she'll walk us through what they're planning on for this year. So I'll share that with the board. We also made a decision, which I think many of us were feeling we needed to make, regarding the broker that is supporting us for our health insurance for our employees and our retirees. The new broker actually is the benefits division of Marshall and Sterling, whom we have our liability insurance with, and they are looking forward to working with us, and they will help us with the Affordable Care Act, where we have to do some tracking on our employees and the like. They will be coming on February 23rd at 10 a.m. to introduce themselves. And we are going to ask them for an additional face-to-face based on some of the board members who have gotten feedback from our retirees, the confusion around the transition. So we will be doing some informational and educational forums after they get on board. Any other observations on anything to do with our...
Actually, on the note of retirees, I'd like to... myself and Supervisor Davis were invited to the Senior Center this past week to meet with the Silver Linings, which I was absolutely amazed by the superior turnout that our Senior Center has and some of the really dynamic people at our Senior Center and the amount of work they're doing to outreach to other seniors. There had to be 70 people at their Valentine's Day luncheon, and it's just an excellent cross-section of everyone you'll see senior-wise in the town of Catskill and the surrounding areas. And I think we have a very, very incredible building up there that we have to take better advantage of, and we have to take better advantage of addressing the needs of our seniors. And with that meeting and future meetings, I'm sure myself, Supervisor Davis, and other board members are going to continue the outreach to the senior population to see what they need.
Agreed. It was a pleasure to see how well attended that particular session was, and they're very interested in talking to us about things that they think that might be able to be contributed to up there. So that was it's a good day. The fire village of Catskill and the town of Catskill are going to have a informational discussion. Myself and Mr. Antonelli will be meeting to think through fire district thoughts. Nothing has been done formally, but an initial conversation will take place, and Mr. Antonelli and I will represent the town, and there'll be two folks from the village that will represent also, and we'll have a conversation.
When is that meeting?
What did I tell you?
The 23rd.
I think it's the 23rd. I'll have to look upstairs. I don't have it with me. I just got an invite, so I haven't heard anything about it location-wise, but I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Okay. Hazard and mitigation and resilience plan. Is that you guys?
Yeah, I was reading through it.
Okay. I believe there is some information that they just need about anybody that's a lead agency, and I think it's county-driven, so, okay. It's good reading material, absolutely.
Yeah, if I have an assignment, I'll get it.
I think that's all I have. We did receive a call from Solar City, and I know that Mr. Izzo got to attend the training, and Mr. Sacco both, right? You were at training? And there was also a presentation at the Association of Towns meeting regarding solar. So a gentleman from Solar City, at the suggestion of the county, contacted me and said that they would like to meet, informationally speaking, nothing formal. But I believe they are the ones that did the farm out in Caro for the county, Solar City. So any observations from your perspective, gentlemen, from a planning board perspective at the meeting?
Well, as you indicated in your email to me when you were at that meeting, the New York State does have a solar permit, which temporarily I think can be used for planning purposes, but that's something that the town board has to pass. And I believe when you pass that, the planning board is the town is eligible for $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
This group from Case Law will be coming out with regulations, zoning regulations, for everybody to look at April.
Mm-hmm.
And their meeting was very good, and there are various ways that we can approach the project. So I think that maybe within 3 or 4 months, we should have something for the board to look at. But meanwhile, at our next board meeting, which is next Tuesday, we will be talking about the New York State solar permit process,
mm-hmm.
and what we'll need to do to recommend it to you for passage.
Okay.
So right now, that's where we are.
Okay. Good. Thanks for attending. Any other topics from the board's perspective? If not, yes, I do have a couple of resolutions. Thank you. The Zoning Board has recommended that Gary Harvey continue as chairman of the Zoning Board, and also that Regina Daly continue at vice chair. So I'll entertain a motion to accept those recommendations from the Zoning Board for a resolution.
I'll make a motion.
Motion from Mr. McCullough.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Vosburgh. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. A proposal from Barton and Logadish, I believe. These are the individuals or the company that is responsible for post-closure landfill monitoring and reporting services. This is the landfill exercise that goes out through 2022. This is the contract for 2016 through 2018, and it's a proposal for their continuation of the landfill post-closure monitoring and reporting. They've had a successful history of lowering the post-closure monitoring and reporting costs for the town. In May of 2000, they were able to reduce the frequency of the monitoring from a quarterly monitoring schedule to a biannual, and then in 2007, they further reduced it to a biannual to an annual monitoring. So they have provided an annual, and it's the same, it has not increased, but it's $3,100 a year for the next 3 years, and we draw from our landfill fund to pay those costs, and in addition, any monitoring costs that are required. So I'll entertain a motion to continuing with this contract.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Antonelli?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. McCulloch. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. Digitech Computer, which is our collection organization, billing organization for the ambulance services, consistent with the board's agreement at the beginning of the year, all of our professional services and contracts we've asked each of our vendors to go ahead with a six-month contract until we can observe and assess processes and procedures, and this is their contract, which we had held off. So I'll entertain a motion for a six-month contract to continue their services upon the recommendation of Mr. June.
I'll make a motion.
Motion for Mr. McCulloch, seconded by Mr. Antonelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay. And the final resolution for this evening is to, after the public hearing, to pass a resolution to accept the local sewer law, as was discussed in the public hearing this evening and was posted duly by the town clerk.
And make the motion to accept the sewer use law.
Mr. Gordiano,
seconded
by Mr. Antonelli. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. And the final motion of this evening is for the board to go into executive session for the purposes of assessing personnel to hire for the Senior Citizens Center. Thank you.
Compliment what Euro has said, okay?
Uh-huh.
Mind if I just give you 5 minutes of my input here?
Okay.
I'm a property owner, okay? And what I honestly feel that the board should consider with this project is we're going to put pipelines in.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's going to reduce any of the private properties that are going to be put under public domain, depreciate those properties 10%, and those folks are going to sue to have their taxes reduced. That will make up that tax revenue. It's going to fall on the rest of the community. Okay? I think that's a major factor.
Were you here when we passed the resolution that we were not in support?
I'm saying it because I know we're on.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
I think the public should know that you just shouldn't come in and just confiscate someone's property and say, hey, this is good for not a public application, but for a private business venture that's going to be exported in a very minimal market right now, jeopardizing spring water and water resources that are very, very critical and have always been a very historical benefit for the Catskills. It was known for its purity of air and purity of water. That's all I wanted to say.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And I think that the resolution that was passed by the board today supports that. I think the economic impact issues that that the IDA will also become involved in sharing with the community. We're on record in a couple of different ways. We've also sent a letter not supporting the co-lead status of the agency. So we are hopefully going to stay on top of this as much as we can, and we appreciate the community's support in that effort. Okay.
Make a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel hire.
Indeed. And a second, please?
Second.
Okay. And to let the public know, we do not plan on coming back into the public meeting format. We will adjourn after our executive session. I'd like to thank the public for coming and for participating in the hearing, those that attended. Motion to enter into executive session, Mr. Gordiano, seconded. Paul. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried.
Signing off.
Excellent.